Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and then chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, both from 2 Timothy. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. And from 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 and 16. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture. Someone say all.
All.
I'm telling you, the word of God is good for you. It's good for me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Amen.
And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. My Bible study tonight is really a Bible study. We are going to study about the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's a little different than I normally do, but I pray God's will be done today. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask, Lord, even now, that as we look into your word, as we look into things about your word, Lord, as we study even these things, Lord, I pray your will in our lives. Lord, quicken my mouth that I would say the right words. And Lord, open our hearing that we would hear your word. And Lord, touch our hearts. Use us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. The title is A Real Bible Study. Amen. You may be seated. U.S. President long ago, Theodore Roosevelt, said, "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education." Hallelujah. I believe he was right. Amen. I'm not against college education. It is very good, very useful. You learn a lot of things. But having a great college education without knowing God is not going to be a good life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we've gotten so used to the screen that we show the scriptures on, but I hope you bring your Bible. Amen. I hope you have a book that you can put in your hand. Some people are real good with their phone, and they can get to the scripture on their phone probably faster than I can flip the pages of that book, which is okay, as long as you can get to what the Word of God says. Amen. I hope you'll do so tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're literally going to study things about the Bible tonight. We're going to take a foundational look at the Bible, the things of the Bible. We're going to learn about the Bible. Amen. Four goals I have for tonight in presenting this Bible study. To help us have a better understanding of the Bible, and some of us have been around a long time, but perhaps you didn't know some of these things about the Bible. You'd be surprised how that in our day, or maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but there are people that have been around religion a very long time and know very little about the Bible. Amen. So we need to know about our Bible. I'd like to answer some questions about the origin, the timeline perhaps, some of the unique characteristics of the Bible, to give some insight into the authenticity, just how real the Bible is. Amen. And to stir us to a new and fresh desire. I hope when you leave tonight, there is a renewed desire for you to find things in the Bible, in the book, in the Bible. Starting out, basic Bible facts. The word scripture comes from a Latin word meaning the writings. The word Bible originates from a Greek word, biblia. If I can speak Greek very well, maybe I don't, but I think it's pronounced biblia, B-I-B-L-I-A, meaning books, plural. The Bible isn't just a single book. It's the book of books. Biblia means to collect, refers to a collection of sacred texts or books, which is later translated Bible or the book. The Bible contains 66 books. If you've been through Search for Truth, Andre's taught this to a whole bunch of folks. I'm sure this is in one of the lessons. There's 66 books in the Bible. How many people know how many in the Old Testament? Raise your hand if you know. A few of us. 39 books in the Old Testament. Now, Old has 3 letters, and Testament has 9 letters. So you can remember how many books are in the Old Testament by thinking of Old Testament. 3 letters, 9 letters, 39 books. Now you know, you won't ever forget how many books are in the Old Testament. 3, Old, 9, Testament, 39 books. How many people know how many books in the Old Testament? We learned something new in school today. Praise the Lord. Now, same test, New Testament. How many books? Do you know how many books are in the New Testament? Most, there's several of us know how many books are in the New Testament. 3 letters in the word new, 3, and 9 letters in the word testament. If you take 3 times 9 is 27. There are 27 books in the New Testament. Now, how many people know how many books are in the New Testament? 3 times 9, 27. Praise the Lord. We're doing really good. Making advances in class today. Amen. Maybe this is trivial. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. And I didn't know that. I had to look it up. Further trivia, 31,173 verses. And 773,692 words. Now, I'll probably, after I lay the microphone down and quit looking at my notes, I won't remember that anymore either. Right. Writers of the Bible. The Bible was written over a period of about 1,500 years. From the first beginning writer to the end of the last writer, about 1,500 years, it has about 40 different people that are accredited with writing these books. They were from diverse backgrounds. They included kings and prophets and fishermen and shepherds. So a wide array of different kinds of people, as they were moved by God, wrote these things that we have in the Bible. The Bible was originally written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. The Old Testament, of course, primarily was in Hebrew. There was some Aramaic. The New Testament was mostly written in Greek. The whole thing, the whole book, the whole Bible is inspired by God Himself, one author. God told men what to write. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God from the beginning to the end. It is totally and altogether everywhere inspired by God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It was God that moved upon them to know what to write. Amen. Interesting facts about the Bible. The shortest book in the Bible is 3 John. It's only one chapter with 14 verses. It's the shortest of the books. And the longest is Psalms 119 with 150 chapters. 150 chapters, right? 150 chapters. The middle verse of the Bible, Psalms 118, verse number 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Amen. What an awesome verse that is, isn't it? It's better to trust God than to trust people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible has been translated into over 700 different languages. It is, of course, the best-selling book of all time. Of all the books ever written by man, the Bible has had more copies than any other book ever, by far. No other book is even close. The absolute bestseller ever is the Bible. Amen. In, I believe it's 1250, Cardinal Hugo divided the Bible into chapters. In 1551, Sir Robert Stevens divided the Bible into verses. So it was a book, just like any other book you read. And then someone made chapters, and 300 years after that, someone else put the chapters into verses. When the printing press was invented in 1450, the Bible was the first book ever printed on that printing press. Until 1450, until the printing press was invented, which, by the way, expounded the distribution of Bibles. The Bible up until that time was written only by hand, with great painstaking care. Each letter copied letter by letter, space by letter by letter by space by letter. And then they would count the number of words in a line and then count the number of words on the page. And if the one page was any letter off from one to the other, they'd crinkle that page up and throw it away and write the page over. They were so careful to make sure that every letter, every punctuation, it was great care was taken in copying of the Bible. So up until the printing press, it was only the extremely wealthy, the priesthood, and the kings that could ever afford to buy a written copy of the Bible. So it was with great privilege that you could obtain a copy. Now today, you can go down to the Dollar Tree and buy a copy of a Bible for a dollar. There's a whole bunch of places that will give you Bibles for free. Yeah, if you get baptized here, we'll give you a Bible. In fact, if you need a Bible, we'll give you one. Amen. We want you to have a Bible. Amen. We want you to have one. We want you to read your Bible. We want you to use your Bible. It is still just as valuable today as it was then. Just that people don't treat it as such. But it has lost no value. It is still just as valuable today as it has ever been. Amen. The Old Testament is divided into five divisions. The New Testament is divided into four divisions. The Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, the Pentateuch, history, Joshua, Judges, history, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, books of poetry, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Major prophets. Now, it's not that they are any more important than the minor prophets. There's a section called major prophets and minor prophets. It's not that one is more important than the other. It's that the major prophets had major works. They were more lengthy, more in detail, and many more chapters, and lengthier than the minor prophets, which were shorter and more condensed. Major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah. The New Testament and the four divisions were the Gospel, the History, the Epistles, and then Prophecy. Of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. History of the church is in the book of Acts. The books called epistles are Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, and 3 John, and Jude. And then the book of prophecy is all by itself, the book of Revelation. Amen. Now, no church was started in the Old Testament. Yes, there was a temple, and yes, there was religion, but the church is established by Jesus Christ, and that happened in the New Testament. Amen. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. It records what happened during his lifetime, about his death, his burial, his resurrection. Amen. 1 Corinthians, through Revelation, through the end of the New Testament, they were letters to the church that were already established. Amen. Titles used for the Bible. the scriptures in 2 Timothy 3:16, the oracles of God in Romans 3:22 or 3 verse 2, the law of the Lord, Psalm 1 verse 2, the books, Revelation 20 verse 12, the word of God, Hebrews 4 verse 12, the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6, 17. The covenants, Hebrews 8, verses 6 and 7. The word of life, Philippians 2, 16. The word of truth, 2 Timothy 2, 15. The word of faith, Romans 10, verse 8. Amen. How about symbols used for the Bible? It's a lamp unto my feet. It's talking about the Bible. It's a lamp. Psalm 119, verse 105. It's a light. Psalm 119, verse 130. It's a mirror. You can see yourself in the Bible. Amen. It's a mirror. James chapter 1, verse 25. It is food. Eat it up. Amen. Have some. Give some to your friends. Eat it up. It's food. Job 23, 12. Milk. Sometimes you got to give milk to babies. Amen. It's in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2. It is bread. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. It is meat. Hebrews 5, verses 12 to 14. It is honey. Man, it tastes so good. Psalm 19, verse 10. Gold, so precious. Psalm 19, verse 10. Fire, Jeremiah 20, verse 19. It was like shut up in my bones. I couldn't hold it in anymore. It's talking about the Word of God. Amen. We got to get the Word of God, right? Down inside of us, where it you won't know what he's talking about till you get some. Amen. It's like you can't hold this in. Praise the Lord. It's like fire. It's a hammer. Jeremiah 23 verse 29. The sword, Ephesians 6 17. It's a seed, Luke 8 verse 11. It's rain and snow, Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. It's a laver, Ephesians 5, 26. So there are lots of symbols that are used for the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is a powerful force, even within its own self. It is the Word of God. It's what God said. It is true, whether if we believe it or not. Yes, it is true. You can take it or leave it. But that don't make it any less the Word of God. It is still the truth, whether if we believe it or not. It's still the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Centuries of experience have tested the Bible. It has passed through critical fires no other volumes has ever suffered. It is spiritual truth, and it has endured the flames and come out without so much as the smell of burning. That's a quote by W.E. Sangster. Amen. The Word of God will defeat Satan. Jesus used the Word against Satan. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, Jesus said three times, "It is written." We can use the Word of God against the enemy. You can use it against Satan. When you're tempted, you can use the Word of God to get yourself out of that temptation. Amen. The Word of God will withstand evil. In our own lives, as well as evil in the world. The devil wants to destroy our walk with God. But God's Word is, it has power to keep us. Amen. When you believe the world has come against you, when circumstances have come against you, when the weaknesses of your own flesh have come against you, when your own not understanding has hindered you, when the things of this world come against you, I tell you, when you have the Word of God, it will empower you to come through that trial, to come through that difficulty. It will sustain you when you couldn't have sustained yourself. Amen. It is powerful. It's a powerful force. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3. Upholding all things by the word of His power. Amen. The Word of God, I tell you, this is absolutely true, will change us. If you'll look at the Word of God, if you'll read the Word of God, if you will trust in the Word of God, it will change you. Amen. David gives us a powerful testimony of how God's Word can change us. From Psalm 19, verses 7 to 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. He's talking about the Word of God. Amen. It's so good for us. It's so needful for us. I'm trying to stress tonight that whether if you've been around the church for a long time or just a little while, if you're in this in a new walk, or if you're in an established long-term relationship with God, you need the Word of God. You need the Bible. Don't try to do it without the Bible. Don't try to live for God. Don't try to live the best that you can without the Bible. Amen. We need the Word of God. We need the Bible. Now, there's lots of different Bibles, lots of different versions of the Bible. There are many translations of the Bible. I know preachers that have dozens, multiples of dozens of copies of different Bibles. With so many versions and translations and so many differences among the various Bible translations, this one says it differently than that one, and is this one better than that one? Or is, how can one Bible be better than the other? And you know that you might get some dispute in that area. Some versions range from condensed to highly commentated. Lots of extra helps, Bible helps. Some Bibles range from very old to very recent. Some use Old English, the King James Version, for example. Others adopt a more modern English translation. Some Bibles use a literal word-for-word translation from the original to the language that it's translating into. Others use a thought-for-thought. Some Bibles paraphrase. Some are geared toward scholarly use and in-depth word studies are the purpose of some Bibles. Other Bibles prioritize devotional reading. I hear Brother Dyke advocate devotional. I hope you will devote some time to the Bible. Amen. There's even Bibles for kids. I know when my kids were small, we had picture Bibles. And for that small child who didn't really know how to read very well and could read just a little bit, I'll tell you what, when my kids were small, they knew every Bible story in Sunday school. They knew them all because they read them in the kids' Bible. I'm pretty sure their mind would go to the pictures that they saw of Samson or of Jericho or of the apostles, the feeding of the 10th of the thousands, 5,000 or the 3,000. Or the healing of the lame man by the temple. You see, it was all depicted for those kids in picture Bibles. So we say, well, the picture Bibles leave so much out. You know, when you're 5, knowing the Bible stories is a very good thing. And I think for a 5-year-old, knowing Bible stories by a picture Bible is better than them reading a Superman book. It's better than watching a screen with a cartoon on it. There are versions for everybody. Some versions use vocabulary. They help you sound out the words that are more difficult to pronounce. Some Bible have research right there. This scripture will translate and it'll tell you where it's used in another passage. It'll refer to you to a Strong's number at the back of your book where you can look up the original meaning and its reference and what that word means. There are Bibles that'll give you that right there in your hand. There's Bibles that have theological terms or key phrases or clarifications for meanings. What kind of Bible do you want? What kind of Bible do you need? Everybody needs a Bible. Amen. Personally, my go-to read, preach, teach Bible is the King James Version. Perhaps because that's how I was raised. That's how my pastors, when I was young, preached from a King James Version. My pastors, as I was growing up, preached from a King James Version. I have become accustomed to the vernacular, the way that they speak, and the words that are printed there. And they have great meaning to me, and they have great familiarity to me, and they help me. That's a great comfort to me. But there are others that have a hard time understanding all of these and thous and the old English. And if somebody else wants to use the New American Standard Version because it says it in a more modern phraseology, I believe it's still a good source for the Word of God. Amen. So we got to be careful. Sometimes preachers will be so, well, it can only be the King James Version. Don't have any other version. Heard this story of the preacher advocating for the King James Version, how that was the only one that you can really depend upon, and that's the one that everybody needs to use. And if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. The Bible wasn't written then. It was in the Old Testament. They had the Pentateuch back then. No, you got to be careful. You do need the Word of God. You do. I need it. You need. I'm trying to tell you, as your pastor, your walk with God is not going to be complete without your relationship with the Word of God. You need the Bible. Amen. I find that studying various versions, and even in my own mind, it helps me to get a better or clearer or perhaps a way to better convey the thought when I use portions of other scriptures in addition to the King James Version that I like. Because it's not just what I like. It's how do I convey the message in the Word to the people. And there are times that I have to agree that it's easier to understand, or it gives emphasis or clarity sometimes in conjunction with other verses, other versions. So I do use them. I've got a computer that has a whole bunch of Bibles on it. I use eSword regularly, and there must be, I don't know, 30 or 40 different versions of the Bible on my eSword. It just has Bible after Bible after Bible, and it's real easy to click through and see what they say. Same verse, different versions. It is, oh man, this is really good. I'll copy and paste that into my notes. And I use it on a regular basis. So I'm not saying that I don't use other versions, because I do, and sometimes I'll convey that in the preaching and teaching. Least favorite versions of the Bible are the ones that are watered down, or liberal versions. I really don't like them. The Word of God is meant to be sharp. It's meant to change us. It's meant to help us. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. It's a go-to verse. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. A go-to verse. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I hope there's some verses that you can go to without even opening the book. That you know it. It's a part of who you are. It's a part of your mind, your thinking. It's a part of your nature. Amen. Get some word in you. It's powerful. Amen. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. I'll tell you what, my walk with God has changed everything in my life. Amen. The Word of God is powerful. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, I've got 10 Bible verses that perhaps every believer should study and learn and love. Maybe your 10 are slightly different, but we need to get some Bible in us. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He might think one way and she might think another way and the other people think a third way, and every you got 10 people in a room, you might think 10 different things. But the Word of God is right. Amen. If your thinking, if my thinking doesn't match up with the Word of God, well, then we need to hear what the Word of God says. Amen. Believe it. Obey it. Amen. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Whew. Powerful. There's two places that we find the beginning. Genesis and John. In the beginning was the Word. Wow. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. But he answered and said, "It is written." I hope you know what is written in the Word. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." I'll tell you what, the Word of God will fight our battles. If you know what the Word of God says, then you won't believe the lie of Satan. Amen. When you know what the Word of God says, you're not going to fall for everything else in the world. You just know the truth.
Yes.
And the truth will make you free.
Right.
Amen. You'll know a lie when you hear it because you know the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. It's just instant.
Yes.
It's instant. Because you know the Word of God, you know what the truth is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm number 4. I got 10. This is number 4. Psalm 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." How do you know how to please God? It's in the Word. You got to know the Bible. You got to get this Bible into your own heart. Amen. Now I'm going on to 5 and I got 10, but let me take a little commercial break right here. And I've said it before. The more of the Word of yes, studying is great. Devotions is wonderful. I hope you'll do them. I hope you'll study. I hope you'll have devotions. But just hearing, reading the Word of God, if you'll do it on a regular basis, it will get in you. It will come in your hearing. God will anoint your mind that what the Word of God is saying will open your understanding. There's just times that, you know, I have my Bible listening to Alexander Scorby is my favorite Bible reader, and so I play him in the morning. If you listen to Alexander Scorby, it's called YouBible. You can look it up on the internet, and it's, I think, just a few dollars for a... Okay, I think I pay a few dollars for a year. It used to be free. But it's like $4, I think. And it lasts for a year. So next year, you got to pay another $4. But for me, it's the one I like, so I just pay it. I'm pretty sure there's free versions of the Bible out there you can get. But a daily reading is like 12 or 13 minutes. So... well, I'm in the bathroom and all by myself and I'm washing my face and brushing my teeth and doing the shaving thing, that my phone is sitting there on the counter and I'm hearing Alexander Scorby read the Word of God. Now, if you can get done in the morning routine in 13 minutes and you only do it that little bit a day, you will get through the whole Bible in 1 year. Well, I'm a little slower than 13 minutes. It takes me longer than that. So a lot of mornings, I'll get 2 days in. Sometimes three, when I'm going kind of slow. But I've completed the Bible already, and I'm in like 2 Samuel or something. I'm nearing the middle. I feel like easily I'll get through it twice this year. Maybe in a little more. But hearing the Word of God, I'm telling you, it will get in you. It will open your understanding. And if you do it day after day after day, it becomes part of your routine. It becomes part of what you want to start your day with. It becomes part of what you want to hear. Yeah, I know I could listen to the news, or I could listen to music, or I could choose to do other things. But that's what I choose to do and start my day, is by hearing the Word of God. Now, if you get through the whole Bible, whether it's reading it or hearing it, but you somehow get through the whole Bible in 2025, we're going to invite you to a dinner or a lunch, I guess it will probably be a lunch, that will take everybody that did the whole Bible in 2025, and the church will treat you to a Bible reading lunch. Okay? So, and it's July the 7th, so we're only 9th. We're just barely, July started the second half of the year, right? For you to start today, you'd have to do the 13-minute Alexander thing twice a day, so about 26 minutes a day, and you'd get through the whole Bible from now to the end of the year. So if you haven't started, I'm thinking you should start. Get some Word. Read the Word. Get the Bible in our mind that it can affect our heart. Amen. Now, number 5. I'm going to close this out here. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number 6, Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's the one sure thing on this earth, is the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Number 8. Psalm 119, verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Number 9, Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. If any man add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Man, I don't want to add anything. I don't want to take anything away. And out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Wow. Tell you what, I want to keep it just as real, just as it is. I don't want to add nothing. I don't want to take nothing away. I want to say it just like the Word of God says it. Amen. And number 10, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study. Someone say study.
Study.
Study. I hope you'll study. I hope you'll look at the Word. I hope the only time you have Bible study is not on Wednesday night when someone's teaching. I hope you'll study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Man, I want to know what the Word of God says. Amen. Stand with me. This is my closing verse. This is a thought provoker. I'm giving you this one on purpose. Leave you with a verse here to ponder in closing. Psalm 138 and verse number 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindnesses and for thy truth. Get this now. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I tell you what, the Word of God is powerful. Would you love him with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts and our minds, and Lord, that your word, Lord God, would change our lives. Lord, that when we give ourselves to the reading or to the hearing or to the listening, Lord, or the studying or the devotion of your word, Lord, that it would get in us. God, that it would affect our heart and affect our mind, that it would bless our understanding, Lord, that we, Lord, might be pleasing unto you. Lord, let your word, God, even speak unto us and help us to keep it, Lord, in that special place that it was meant to be. Lord, I pray your hand upon your people. Keep us, Lord, by your word. Help me, Lord, to serve you by your word. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Jesus, for the word, for the Bible. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.